next few weeks out of the book of Nehemiah. And I know that many of you have heard a lot of sermons out of Nehemiah and different things from that book, but the Lord really just laid it on my heart. And I want to talk about the seven enemies of our destiny, the seven enemies of our destiny. I know that the Bible says that we're going to come into a time of gross darkness is coming to this world, and there's nothing that you can do about it. It's going to come. Jesus said so. But he also said the best wine is saved till last. And I believe that right in the middle of all of that stuff, God is going to bring one of the greatest awakenings the world has ever known. And I want to be a part of that. How about you? I want to see God do this. I want to be a part of it. And I believe God's got a great plan. So even though the enemy might be strategizing against us, I believe we win. And so I want to talk about some of that because maybe you are caught in the middle of some of it, not fully understanding it. So I want to talk about these seven enemies and how to win that battle. Let's start off by just saying every name in the Bible means something. Every name. Their names are very, very important in the Word of God. And Nehemiah, the name Nehemiah means Jehovah comforts. And so he's really a picture of the Holy Spirit rebuilding our lives, rebuilding our families, rebuilding our cities and our nations. And it's a beautiful picture as God's ambassador begins to build broken people. And that's what God wants to do and wants us to do. So let me give you a little background. I don't have time to really, really dig into everything in Nehemiah, but we want to at least touch a few main areas. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He's the guy that brought the wine to the king, and that's a very important thing because how many of you know it's important to have new wine that's fresh? Okay, and so he was that guy, and he served the king of Babylon. And one day he went to the king, and he told the king, he said, King, my people in Israel are being oppressed. The walls are broken down, the gates are broken down in Jerusalem, and they're being oppressed. And the king told Nehemiah, go do something about it. That's what I love about our God. He always says, go do something about it. He sends him out. So Nehemiah is now commissioned, empowered, just like you and I have been, to go and rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. So I want to read to you, beginning at that point, Nehemiah 4, verse 1 through 6, they're beginning to rebuild. It says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the armies of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him. And he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break it down. It will break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Now this is all the stuff that this Sanballat and Tobiah are saying. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So this starts off whenever you begin to progress, whenever you begin to rebuild your life or see your family restored or whatever it might be, there's always somebody that doesn't like it. There's always somebody that wants to resist whatever progress you might be making. I was sharing with the earlier service, I was amazed as a young pastor. I had tapped into a group of hippies. How many of you have ever heard of those guys? This is old-time folks, long-haired drug addicts, sex, drugs, rock and rolls, and they all lived in this little commune. And so I had tapped into them, and I was super happy because they were getting truly saved. God was doing a great work in their lives. They were cleaning up. They were starting to live for God. Their lives were coming back together. And as they got more and more in tune with real life, I mean, they got off of LSD and could actually see again. They could actually speak a sentence together. You know, as they were starting to come together, I started getting phone calls from their parents. And I was shocked because their parents was telling me they liked them better the way they were. They didn't like them. They didn't like that they were being saved. It was a shocking thing to me that people will resist progress in somebody's life. And so the study of Nehemiah, you're going to find that there's seven enemies, predominant enemies, that will resist progress in your life. The number one we're going to look at today is intimidation, but we're also going to look at discouragement, confusion, poverty, compromise, false accusation, and betrayal. These are enemies of your destiny. And there's always an enemy of your destiny. But God is so beautiful in that he always has a counterbalance. And one of the greatest counterbalances we have is a thing called faith. Everybody say faith. True faith is always original. Always original. In other words, when it's true, it's not faith for me to sit in one of those chairs because I've seen you sit in those chairs and I know the chair will hold me up. That's not really faith. That's just action, okay? But faith is something where there's no precedence. We haven't never seen it before. For example, Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. There was no precedence for that happening before, but he had enough faith that he stopped the mouths of the lions. It was a beautiful thing. His faith did that. Now, that was original faith. I don't know if it's ever been done before, and I don't know if it's ever been done since, but Daniel stopped the lion's mouths. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Again, no precedent for that ever happening before or since that I know of, but those men got in that fire, and as the king looked, he saw a fourth man walking with him. Jesus got in that fire with him. Amen. And so faith is a beautiful thing. It releases us from the bondage of whatever the enemy is trying to put us into. It gets us past those places. The Bible was never given to us to set limits on our faith. In fact, the Bible encourages us to live an extraordinary life, to go beyond the ordinary, and to live into something supernatural and powerful. The Bible does give us doctrinal bounds, but even in the doctrinal bounds, every one of them is designed to release our faith. We are a people that are supposed to be free from the devil's intimidation. Can I hear an amen today? We're supposed to be free to do whatever God has called us to do. And sometimes we're going to come against situations and circumstances that we've never faced before. This is the first time I've ever pastored through a pandemic. There's just new. It's new. But God will give us the faith to go right through this thing. Amen. We will have an original faith, a faith that's able to take us there, but we can't allow the first enemy that we're going to talk about today, intimidation, to push us back and make us stop. Let me read again to you the verse 1 of that text. It says, it so happened when Sanballat and his buddy Tobiah heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious, very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. The word mocked there means to ridicule or to intimidate. In other words, he began to speak words to say, what do you think you're doing? How do you think you can do this? And he starts to intimidate him. But the Bible says in verse 6, but we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now let me explain this real quickly. The walls of Jerusalem weren't completely knocked down. It wasn't like the whole wall was on the ground. There were sections of the wall that had been pushed over, just pieces of the wall. So when it says they were joined together, it means that they were now taking those pieces and putting them back in order, putting them, the literal word is in rank. They're being put in rank. They're able to march in rank again. They're there. So the picture is the wall's not yet complete. It's only half complete, but they're making progress. And as soon as they start making progress, as soon as it's better than it used to be, then suddenly there rises up this enemy voice of intimidation. But the people, the Bible says, is talking to you and I, had a mind to work. And sometimes I got this word wrong in the first service, I'm going to try to get it right now. When you're discombobulated, I was saying discombobulated the first service. Discombobulated, amen. That's a good word, I actually looked it up. Anyway, you can't allow the devil, when you're looking at your mess, to intimidate you. Sometimes you're looking at the broken things of life, the mess of life, the junk and the rubbish of life, and you start to get intimidated about even what you're doing. And at that moment, the devil will bring these 5 questions out against you. And they're listed in the book of Nehemiah for us to understand and realize this is what the devil will do. Let's read the 5 questions in the second verse. And he spoke, this is the bad guy speaking to his army of Samaria. And he says to them, what are these feeble Jews doing? There's number 1. Number 2, will they fortify themselves? Number 3, will they offer sacrifices? Number 4, will they complete it in a day? And number 5, will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish stones that are burned? Number 1, here's the first thing that'll attack your mind. As soon as you start making any kind of progress, the devil's going to come along and say, what are you feeble Jews doing? What are you feeble Christians doing? Who do you think you are? What? You go to church twice a week? What? You had VBS? Did you not notice there was a pandemic? Woo, you feel it? That's what the devil says. What do you think you're doing? What? You give 10% of your giving to 10% of your income to God? What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Don't you see the mess that's in front of us? Don't you see the needs that you have? What do you think you're doing? Look at the mess. Look at the rubble. In fact, God didn't do this. You did it. This is your mess. Why would you think God would help you? You did this. Why should God dig you out of a mess that you made? And that's what the devil starts to do to your life. He starts to make you think that you made the mess, which you might have. But then he starts to limit it, and he starts to bring the limitation, the intimidation. God won't help you because you did it to yourself, because you're the mess, because you've done wrong, because you've been given tithe, and what has it done for you? And he starts mocking you and ridiculing you and trying to tear you down. And the reason he's doing that is because you're making progress. The devil never kicks a dead dog. If he's kicking you, you got bite. Amen. And so something's going on, and you got to understand, the very first assault the devil will bring against your life is an assault of ridicule, of attack, and you caused this problem. Why would God help you? You're not worthy of the help. You're a mess. Look at this mess out here, and what do you think you're doing? Number two, will they fortify themselves? Now remember, I just told you, the walls were not completely knocked down. They weren't completely dismantled. So there were just huge holes knocked through the wall. So the satanic strategy is always this, that to leave you broken but not destroyed. To leave you broken but not destroyed. If he destroys you, you're no more of a test. You're not, again, something that he can show as a witness against God. So he doesn't want you destroyed. He wants you crippled and dragging around. He wants you messed up. He wants you other than the original design that God had for your life. Because then he can display you and try to make other Christians feel intimidated, because look what happens if you're a Christian. And so he wants to intimidate, and he always takes a Christian and he tries to show somebody that's made a mistake, and he tries to advertise that to the world, because he wants you to be broken but not destroyed. Brokenness always will handicap you from reaching your destiny. Are you with me so far today? God wants you whole. God wants you to reach your destiny. Here's what God says in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will do what? Perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Our God is a finisher. God's not done with you yet. God is working on you. You might be broken, but you're not destroyed. Amen. And God will continue the work that he's begun in you. He will finish that work. The devil is trying to advertise that you'll never make it, but God says, I'll finish what I started in your life. Amen. Hebrews 12:1 says this, wherefore seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such, here's the word, contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. A contradiction is something that opposes God's, what would seem to be God's destiny in your life. I'll give you an example. Naaman. How many of you remember Naaman in the Bible? Here was a great general, a great and powerful man, yet he had leprosy. It's like a contradiction. Here's Jesus, who is sinless, and yet he's got to go to the cross. It's a contradiction. It doesn't seem to make sense. And so the devil tries to stimulate these contradictions in your life. He tries to stimulate things. So let's bring it to where you live. Perhaps you go to a service sometime, and somebody calls you out and prophesies that God's going to move greatly in your marriage. And then the contradiction happens, and suddenly your marriage is falling apart. Suddenly there's all kinds of warfare comes against your marriage, and everything goes crazy. At that moment, what's happening? The devil is trying to intimidate you. He's trying to intimidate you to stop building. Don't keep working on your marriage. Don't keep pushing for this. Give up. Let it go. It ain't worth the fight. Give up. Don't keep going. Back down. His whole strategy, listen to me, through all of this, is it's not worth the fight, church. Back down. Give up. Quit. Go away. And so this is the whole idea of the enemy, to break you down, keep you in a broken state, to intimidate you. For 70 years, these walls had been down in Nehemiah's day. 70 years. Down, broken, but not destroyed. Let's talk about 70 for a moment. This means it's generational. This means, I'm just barely 60. So this means my whole life I've been living with broken walls. Not only have I been living with broken walls, but my father lived with broken walls. And not only did my father live with broken walls, but my grandfather lived with broken walls. So everybody I know was broken. Everybody I know, I've never seen anything whole. I've never seen wholeness. All I've seen is brokenness. Maybe you can relate. All you've ever seen is alcoholism in your family. All you've ever seen is hatred and violence. All you've ever seen and heard is racism. All you've ever seen and know is drugs and anger. This is all you've ever lived with. And so it's kind of like there's this broken thing, but you've learned to live with it. And the moment you try to rise up against it, who do you think you are? What do you mean? You're too good to have a beer with us? Here comes that spirit. It always wants to push you. It always wants to intimidate you. It always wants to try to push you into something other than what God would have perhaps for your life. And so it's a spirit. I want to say to you today, God wants to redeem and restore his people. Amen. I don't care what contradiction is there. I don't care what brokenness is there. I know my God who is a healer. And my God is looking at it and sees it and understands it. Watch what it says in Isaiah 40. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You know, eagles are an interesting bird. If you study them, they're one of the only birds that actually molt several times in their lives. But as they get into about their 30 years, they live longer than most birds. They get there, they get a final molting. And in that molting, they actually have to help pluck the feathers a little bit to get them all out. And when they do, there's an oil that's in those feathers that lubricate and help them. There's an oil that comes. And so the way that the eagle has to do that is he's getting older now. He has to fly to a place where he can sharpen his beak against the rock. Oh, you're missing the story. Jesus is the rock. He sharpens his beak against the rock. He sharpens his talons the best he can so that he can now pluck out those feathers and release the oil to flow over his life. The Bible says in Joel 3, verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. In other words, what he's saying here, start with your mouth and be careful that you sharpen it up. Don't let negative things start coming out of your mouth during a season of intimidation. When you're feeling intimidated, when the devil's lying to you, sharpen up your mouth first thing. Amen. Get your beak right and get your oil right. Let me tell you what happens to an eagle that doesn't do that. An eagle that doesn't renew himself will become a vulture because he can't fly like he's supposed to fly. His beak isn't sharp enough to catch anything. His talons aren't sharp enough to catch anything. So what he has to do is he has to be just like the vultures. He has to live now off of dead carcasses on the side of the road. He now has to live in brokenness. So God is telling us that I want to renew you. I want to lift you up. I want to sharpen your mouth. I want to give you an ability to fly above the storms of life. I don't care what the devil's saying. I don't care what CNN is saying. I don't care what ABC is saying. I'll help you fly above it. I'll renew you. I'll strengthen you. I'll bless you. And I'll give you a new life. Somebody shout amen. Our God is not, listen, America's not in deconstruction right now. America is in reconstruction. God is reconstructing this thing, and God is our refuge. And so you got to get a hold of that, okay? God is helping us. The number three thing they're going to say is, will they sacrifice? Let me talk about that for a minute. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Every one of us in this room were created and made by God to give praise. To give praise. Let me give you the Greek word for that because we're biblical. Because we know how to use Google. No. The Greek word for praise literally means to speak of the excellence of a person, an object, or an event. So we could speak, I can praise Pastor Bill for what happened with VBS. Okay, I can also praise God for what happened with VBS. So I can speak of praise. I can speak of an event, of a person. But the Bible in the New Testament kind of brings it a little bit different emphasis. And that praise now is supposed to be praise to God. And it's given through songs and it's given through prayer. That's the way it's mostly denoted in the New Testament. So here's what's happening. These people are down there rebuilding these walls. They're mocking these people. They're antagonizing these people. But did you know what the people started to do? They must have started to do it because they wouldn't have said this. They must have started praising. They must have started praising. They must have started getting a whistle in their work and singing a song because suddenly said, will they offer sacrifice? Will they praise? What are they doing? And so how can they possibly manage a praise when they're looking at such a mess? How many of you know that's when a real praise happens? It's when things aren't really right and you find in your heart a way to enter into a praise. Let me tell you something. Anytime God does something new, he always surrounds it with a praise. Not a worship, and we'll talk about this later on in the series. Worship is powerful. It has its place, no doubt. We'll talk about that next week. But praise is a little something different. It's an exuberance. It's a dynamic that we're missing. And God, every time he does great new things, he'll start it with a praise. When Jesus was born, he sent angels to sing praise. Okay, it's always a praise. So whatever you do when the devil's trying to intimidate you, when everything looks like a mess, when everything looks like rubble, when it looks like you're being assaulted and like, why would God help me? I'm a mess. At that moment's when you ought to start praising. That's when you praise. That's when you lift up a song of praise, a prayer of praise, a prayer of power. That's when you come on Tuesday night and you let the devil have it in praise. Amen. Somebody say amen. You exalt who God is, what God's doing, and how God raises up leaders and raises up nations. You exalt that. Okay, and then it says, will they make an end in a day? Now, an end in a day. So he's talking about time. Never let the devil use time to measure you. Okay, Galatians 6:9 says, don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. Well, what is due season? Due season is God's time. When God decides, you're going to reap. Okay, there's nothing that can stop it. When God decides, he says, you're going to reap if you don't faint. You can't faint. So what he's saying here, let me explain this to you, is God's grace is always equal to your test. I don't know what test you're going to go through. I don't know what trial you might face. God's grace is sufficient. The devil will come along and say, where is your God? That God is outmatched, that you've messed it up so bad nobody cares, that you haven't repented well enough. He'll have you repenting and repenting and repenting as if Jesus' blood wasn't enough for you. He'll have you all beat up over repentance. He'll have you constantly at every service repenting because you can't seem to get clean. And I want to declare to you today, God's grace is sufficient for everything you've ever done wrong. Amen. Every mess, every brokenness, everything that's happened in your granddaddy, your daddy, and yourself, God can have a grace that is sufficient for all of that. Somebody shout amen. And then he says, will they revive stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Every breach in that wall... Okay, there was a time in Jerusalem's history, if you study it out a little bit, that they went outside, I believe it was the east wall, and they had a garbage pile out there. Okay, but what happened in this setting is once the walls had broken down in different places around the walls, they found it easier just to go over to where the wall was pushed over and throw their junk out there. And so for 70 years, they had created Trashmore Mountains. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever driven by Trashmore? It's just a horrible smell, a horrible thing. And Trashmore's only been there a few years. 70 years. No bulldozers, nobody doing anything, just rubbish building up. And so I can tell you it stunk. It was foul. It was full of maggots and disease and trouble and of every kind. And outside everyone, so it really wasn't just a broken down wall. It was a rubbish pile. It was garbage. It was horrible. And so here's what they had to do. If you're going to try to get to the stones that are underneath to rebuild the wall, what's the easiest way? Light the rubbish on fire. Burn it. Burn it off the top. Otherwise, you got to dig through it. But you can burn it off. You can get through it a little easier. Here's the lesson. What you need, you already have. You just got to dig through the garbage to get to it. You don't got to go somewhere else to find the stones. They're there. You don't need to go somewhere else to find something you need. You've already got what you need. Everything you need is already there. All you got to do is get past the garbage. Amen. Amen. And this garbage is 70 years old. So I can't look at the garbage pile and get intimidated. I can't look at it and say, wow, I don't know what to do. What I know, here's what you got to know. No matter how bad your mess is, underneath your mess is your answer. Amen. That mess is not just my mess. My mess has been going on for several years, but that mess includes my daddy's mess and my granddaddy's mess. This is a generational mess. Amen. And so I'm not just digging through my garbage. I'm digging through everybody's garbage. So it's a picture of digging through all the generational problems, all the anger from the generations, all the bitterness, all the lies, all the deceits, all the struggles, all of that. But if I get past all of that stuff and get down to the stones, I'm going to find my significance, I'm going to find my purpose, and I'm going to find my identity. Amen. Woo, God. Even the Baptists get happy on that one. These stones don't look like all the other stones. All the stones in the wall, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, and I know many of you have, Jerusalem is basically all one color of stone. But these stones are not the same color because they're burned. The reason they're burned, you just burned it up to try to get through to find them. And so here's the story here. These stones are going to get put back in the wall. They don't look like the others, but they're just like the others. You missed it, but that's okay. You can't burn up a stone. You can't burn a stone. You can burn hay, stubble, rubbish, straw, but you can't burn up a stone. Anybody that's been saved over 35 years looks like a burnt stone. You come in here, you're a crusty looking little fella. You're crusty. You got some flakes hanging out you. There's things hanging off of you that shouldn't be there. You're crusty because you had to burn through some stuff to get to where the real stone was at. But that stone, once you get it, is just as useful as any other stone in that wall. Amen. So what I'm trying to say to you is that sometimes in our lives, we've got stuff that's not so pretty. We've got stuff that others don't understand, but it doesn't matter. We're just as useful as anybody else. Amen. And so when you get people that come into church, some people come in and they got a lot of stuff that needs to burn off. Some of you, I can still smell smoke on you. We'll just leave that sit. And amen. You know, it's amen. Some of you kids, it's like a slow awakening in here today. But when we get your stone and we put you back in where God has placed you, you're useful. You're powerful. You rebuild. You strengthen. You protect. There's something there. So my message today as we start, as we're looking, we live in a world right now filled with chaos, filled with all kinds of uncertainty, all kinds of lies. You can't half trust anything that's going on anymore. You don't know, you know, you click on something and the next thing you know, they're selling your information to somebody else. You don't even know what's going on half the time. We cannot be intimidated. Our God has not changed. Amen. We can counterbalance everything that's happening to us with original faith. We can say, God, the saints of old never had to walk through a pandemic, so you're going to give us the kind of faith we need to go through this pandemic. You're going to help us as a church to be able to reach the generation we're a part of. This generation is a mess, but you've got an answer. Amen. And not only do you have an answer, we're part of that answer. We're a stone that you're going to use to build the walls back. Amen. We might have a few messes in our lives, but you're going to use our lives. We want to be a part of that. We're not going to be intimidated. Our God is a finisher. Our God is a builder. Our God is a warrior. And our God is looking to use our lives. Amen. Amen. So whatever you do today, I want you to remember this. Musicians, come help me out here. You got to understand this. The devil will start with intimidation. He'll start right there. That's the first place. Next week we'll talk about something else. But the first place he's going to go is to see if he can just push your button a little bit, make you mad, and make you quit. Make you push the pause button for a moment. Say, well, I don't think. It's just not worth it, man. I'm just going to kick back. It's just not worth it. The fight's too great. The moment that spirit comes inside of you, the devil's winning. You cannot allow intimidation to push you back. You must rise up. You must say, wait a minute. No, no, I'm building the wall. No, 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 I'm a part of this. God, I might be burned up, messed up, and full of rubbish, but wait till I get in the wall. Wait till I'm going to strengthen what God's doing in the earth. I'm a part of God's design in the last days. I'm part of the kingdom of God. Amen. My life counts. Your life counts. And when we have a mind to build together, and when we start to put this thing together, God is a finisher. I believe God's got great plans for this church. How many of you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God is going to do something that's supernatural and beyond anything we can imagine. Now, I'm not going to get into it this week, but I'll talk about it next week. I'm going to talk to you next week a little bit about how fast they built these walls. But I want to say this to you as I close today. They built it with a pace. They never let the intimidation slow them down. See, what we tend to do is get intimidated and run into our closet to pray. Nothing wrong with praying, but we stop. He just gets us to stop. You got to keep pace. You got to keep moving. You got to put a trowel in one hand and a sword in another hand. You got to keep moving. You can't stop. You got to keep building and you got to keep fighting at the same time. Same time. You got to keep, because if you lose pace, you're going to miss moments. If you lose pace, you're going to miss meaning. And if you lose pace, you're going to miss the miracles. I'll say it again. If you lose your pace, you're going to miss the moments. God has God divine kairos moments for you, but you can't get them if you're stopped. You got to be in motion. You got to be moving. And you're going to miss the meaning of it. It's not going to make sense on this side. You got to get down the road a little bit. Then it makes sense. Okay? And then you'll miss the miracle of the rebuilt wall. You'll miss the miracle of what God has if you lose pace. So keep your pace. Don't be intimidated today. That's the message. Don't be intimidated. What are you doing? What are these feeble Christians doing? We're serving our God. Amen. We believe our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe our God is still the God of salvation and miracles. We believe our God redeems lives and builds lives and helps broken people. We believe God takes broken people and makes great walls out of their lives. Amen. That's what we believe. We believe God will take a drug addict and make him an apostle. We believe God will take a prostitute and make her a church mother. Amen. That's what we believe. God takes broken lives, puts them together, and rebuilds them. That's what we believe. We don't care how messed up it is. We don't care how bad it smells. We believe our God's got a plan. We believe that inside of every person that walks through those doors, God has a purpose and a plan for their life. Inside of them is everything they need to rebuild their lives. They're looking out here for an answer, and the answer's in here. They're going to the self-help, and the self-help is right there. It's God inside of them. It's God working in their lives. It's them connecting again to what God's plan is for their life. And that's what we believe. And we're going to see God do great things. Amen. I want you to bow your head if you would today. I've got to kind of hurry because we're going to take communion in a moment. But Father, I thank you so much for this great church and for what you're speaking to our lives. I pray that you'll let Nehemiah walk out of these pages and into our lives. Lord, don't let us back down from intimidation. As the world right now is intimidating us with all kinds of new things and new words and all the new things we have to do just to go to a grocery store, all the new things that are happening, God, don't let us get intimidated and back up and hit pause. Let us keep in pace. Let us keep pace. Let us keep moving. Let us keep building. Let us have a mind to work together. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that was a part of VBS this last week, for the mind to work together. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church and everybody that's listening online. Build our lives. I rebuke intimidation in the name of Jesus. I release God's grace and God's glory into your life. I release the purpose of God into your life. You will find your significance. You will find your identity. It's in Christ. You're going to find it. You're going to dig through all the rubbish and you're going to come out the other side in Jesus' name. You're going to find strength because God's going to give you strength. He's going to renew your strength. You might be wore out today, but God's going to give you a new oil. He's going to give you a new sharpening, a new talon. You're going to fight and fly and you're going to go above and beyond. You're an eagle in God's kingdom and God's going to use you. You're going to see things that nobody else sees. You're going to soar to heights that nobody else has soared. God's going to use your life. I feel the spirit of prophecy. And God is speaking into your world today, speaking into your life today. You rise up. You do not back down. You are great in God's kingdom. You are here in this time and this day and this moment because God put you here. And because something in you God wants and needs at this hour. Rise up. Don't let the devil push you around anymore in Jesus' name. You rise up and you be all that God's called you to be. You rise up and you soar and you build and you fight in Jesus' mighty name. And God's blessing is going to rest upon you. Amen. Give the Lord a praise.